This final Sunday of the Easter season is a time in which we look forward, look ahead to the coming of the Holy Spirit and God's presence with us through that Holy Spirit for the living of our lives. It is the completion of the celebration of what Christ has done in his death and resurrection and looking ahead to the future of the world. It occurs to me that this day is very similar to what happens generally in our culture at this time of year. It is a time when there are many graduations of students who have completed one phase of their lives, their education, and they look ahead to what is to come. Now, during this time, over the past month, there have been literally thousands of graduates of various programs here in Orlando and millions across the country. I had the pleasure of attending two graduation ceremonies this year. One was for the graduation of two of my grandchildren from Boone High School here in Orlando. And the second was the graduation of students in the Winter Park Presbyterian Church preschool. And now, the thing that struck me about both of those occasions is that somebody stood up and had a word to say to those who were graduating of congratulations and something about what was coming next. Now, I think that's traditional of commencement ceremonies. And I checked out the internet and found some various instructions that were shared or comments during these commencement ceremonies addresses. I'd like to share them with you. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. Follow your passion. Stay true to yourself. Never follow someone else's path. Take action. You can either be a passive victim of circumstance or you can be the active hero of your own life. Err in the direction of kindness. Do those things that incline you toward the big questions and avoid the things that would reduce you and make you trivial. And now go and make interesting mistakes. Make amazing mistakes. Make glorious and fantastic mistakes. Break rules. Leave the world more interesting for your being here. When you embark for strange places, don't leave any of yourself safely at the shore. Have the nerve to go into unexplored territory. You know, all of these things are interesting and exciting, and they lift up things, I think, that are typical of commencement addresses. You know, be true to yourself. Be who you are. Be true to your dreams. Take courage. Live for those things that are important in life. Don't let this moment pass. Good advice, wonderful advice, good words to share with people who are at times of transition in their lives. Good for all the rest of us who are hearing these addresses to reflect on our own lives and think about how those things may apply to us. This is the typical way of things. I also wonder how much the graduates are paying attention to those addresses. You know, there's a lot of other things going on for them. They've got to get up and walk across that stage and and receive their diplomas or whatever it is. They've got to be thinking about what they're going to do, maybe the celebrations, the parties that come afterward. There are a lot of things going on. But you know, it's the hope of those who give these addresses that there will be something that will stick, maybe something that they will remember in the future. It's kind of like giving a sermon, you know. You talk a lot, you wonder how much people hear, but maybe, just maybe, the Lord will use something. It's the nature of it all. But the thing that occurred to me about this is that all of these things are giving advice, thoughts for the future, how we can create our life as we move forward into that which is unknown. The thing that is different about these things and the scripture readings that we have for today that are the traditional readings for this Sunday is that these readings are not advice. They are not even commandments. They are statements of reality. They are statements of the things that are contained in our faith. In the passage from the Revelation that George read for us, it is a statement of the fulfillment of life, where life is headed, union with God, the triumph of justice and good and peace and love, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, for the former things are passed away. And the one who is on the throne says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I was there at the beginning, and I will be there at the end. And you have a place in that. I was the beginning. That's how the scripture starts out. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. If you want to put that, in scientific language, we understand something of that in this time. In the beginning, it all started 13, 14 billion years ago in a space infinitesimally small, infinitely tiny, powerful, hot, white beginning, where all the things that are in the universe are contained in this tiny spot. And then it begins to expand, spreads out, the speed of light or greater in some instances, we think. From this tiny spot where even the laws of physics do not, as we understand them, do not apply. And after 380,000 years or so, it has finally cooled down to a place where, lo and behold, the first atoms can form hydrogen. And from that simple beginning, that tiny spot, all of this has come. And out of that which was inert, that which was simple, life has come. Mind, thought, reflection. And so in human experience, life has finally reached the point where we begin to ask, what is it all about? Why are we here? But it is all part of this one who is the Alpha and the Omega. To me, that fact, that reality cries out purpose, plan, mind that is behind it all. drawing creation towards something, drawing creation toward God's self. In the fullness of time, when we are able to think and reflect, God begins to try to reach out to us in a way that we can understand. And it is our faith that is in that context that God sends Jesus Christ. God begins to reveal himself so that we don't just wander about, but that we have some sense of where it is all going. And as it says in the scriptures, Christ comes to be known so that we might know that God has sent him, so that we might know that in Jesus Christ we see God. Not all of God, but that which we can begin to grasp and understand. Something of the spirit, the soul of God, if you will. That's what we see in Jesus Christ. And here at the end of his life, as Jesus is about to lead his disciples, what does he do? He sits down, he prays for them. He prays in a way that they can hear him. And he expresses this in a very personal way. Did you catch the very end of that? He wants to give them a sense of who they are, of what they are called to be, of what their destiny is, what God has created them to be. And here he says, I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. The love with which you loved me may be in them. Jesus is saying that this intimate relationship that God has with his only son is now an intimate relationship with those who follow him, those who trust in his love. That is that they may be one. In other words, our destiny is to be one with God, one with each other. There is a wholeness. All of creation has been moving toward that time in the future when all will be one. And we are called to reflect that so that the world will know God, the one who sent Christ. That the world will know what God is like. It is a challenge for us to be in that way related to God. It is something that only comes through the power of God himself. But as we reflect on that, as we reflect on this reality that we are called to embrace, God empowers us to reach out to the person next to you in the pew and remember that you are one with that person. Reach out to the people that you work with. You are called to be one. The time will come when we will all be united. And we are to express that in our lives, that sense of unity, that sense of purpose and calling, that sense of who we are to the world. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, the psychiatrist who did so much on death and dying, also had some words to graduates. Something that she shared from her life and experience. She says, I have never met a person whose greatest need was anything other than real, unconditional love. Real, unconditional love. That's what we see in Christ given to us. That's what it means to be in that intimate relationship with a God who loves us in a real, unconditional way. And that is what we are called to express to one another, to know that we are indeed sisters, brothers, one family, one creation of God, one people who live in the faith and hope that one day God will finish this creation. It will be what John sees, that vision of wholeness, of unity with God, as God, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, created it to be. Amen.